Welcome to NGA Notable Lectures, a podcast offering a deeper understanding of all things artistic. On March 17, 1943, the National Gallery of Art marked its second anniversary with the announcement of an extraordinary gift from print collector and former Sears Roebuck & Company chairman Lessing J. Rosenwald. Rosenwald's print and drawing collection, ultimately numbering more than 22,000 works at the time of his death in 1979. The collection, with works ranging in date from the late 11th century to mid-20th century, was the finest ever assembled by one person in the United States, and its donation constituted the single largest gift by a private individual to the nation. The gift immediately catapulted the gallery's public collection of prints and drawings into one of the most exceptional in the country. In this lecture, recorded on March 16, 2018, Gregory Jeckman reveals Rosenwald's extraordinary legacy as both a learned print collector and an enthusiastic promoter for the appreciation of the graphic arts. Jeckman also highlights the collection's strengths and emphasizes selected works by some of Rosenwald's favorite artists, including Albrecht Dürer, Rembrandt van Rijn, William Blake, and James Whistler.
75 years ago tomorrow, on March 17, 1943, the National Gallery marked its second anniversary by announcing an extraordinary gift to the institution from the collector and former Sears Roebuck and Company chairman Lessing J. Rosenwald of his print and drawing collection, which ultimately, at the time of his death, numbered more than 28,000 works of art on paper. The collection of works ranging in date from the late 11th century to the mid-20th century was the finest ever assembled by one person in the United States. And its donation constituted one of the single largest gifts by a private individual to the nation. The gift immediately catapulted the National Gallery's public collection of prints and drawings into one of the finest in the country. Lessing J. Rosenwald, seen here in a photo from the 30s on the left and on another photo from the 60s, was born to American businessman and philanthropist Julius Rosenwald and his wife, Augusta Nussbaum, in Chicago on February 10, 1891. After attending Cornell University in 1911, he went to work for Dad's company, Sears, where his father was part owner, president, and chairman of the board. Of the burgeoning mail order store. Lessing, starting as a shipping clerk, was sent to Philadelphia in 1920 to start the company's catalog supply center there. Julius's sense of philanthropy was strong and was to have a great influence on his son. It's a great photo on the right. Marking his success in business, Julius, seen here, established in 1917 a fund that dispensed over $70 million to public schools, colleges, universities, museums, Jewish charities, and black institutions until 1948, when the Rosenwald Fund purposely ended. In particular, Julius responded to the poor state of education for African Americans, especially those living in the rural South, by providing the architectural plans and matching funds that built schools during the late teens to 1932, an astonishing 5,300 schools from Virginia to Texas and from Florida to Oklahoma. The Rosenwald Fund also made fellowship grants directly to many African-American cultural luminaries that included the writers Ralph Ellison, W.E.B. Du Bois, Langston Hughes, Maya Angelou, the photographer Gordon Parks Jr., the artist Elizabeth Catlett, singer Marian Anderson, and dancer Catherine Dunham, just a few of the beneficiaries of the Rosenwald Fund. After Julius's death in 1932, Lessing succeeded his father as Sears chairman. And 7 years after that, he took an early retirement and fully dedicated himself to the collecting of prints, drawings, and illustrated books, as well as managing the family charities. For the next 40 years, Rosenwald's collection was his primary focus, one in which he relished both the acquiring of works, especially rare ones, and generously sharing the fruits of his labor. An account of Rosenwald's remarkable life as print collector and connoisseur together with a discussion of highlights from his collection, can be found in Ruth Fine's catalog for the National Gallery's 1982 exhibition, Lessing J. Rosenwald, Tribute to a Collector, to which this present lecture is indebted. Rosenwald's interest in prints seemingly began in 1923 when he ordered several seminal books on printmaking, including Arthur M. Hines' The History of Engraving and Etching, which was republished in a new edition in that very same year, 1923. He might also have been influenced by his mother's small collection of late 19th and early 20th century etchings. His own first documented print acquisitions were made in 1926. The very first purchase, date unknown, is the image that you see here on the screen now. It's by the Scottish printmaker D.Y. Cameron. And his first and were made, and these prints that he collected at this time were made by artists working at that time in France, Britain, and the United States. These printmakers were wishing to revive the technique of etching that flourished during the 17th century. These artists particularly took inspiration from Rembrandt von Rijn and James Whistler being one of the best known of these so-called etching revival printmakers. In 1928, Rosenwald bought his first two prints by both Albrecht Dürer and Rembrandt. Two artists were to remain the collector's favorite, ending up years later with a total of slightly more than 300 works by each artist. Acquisitions, especially of old master prints, quickened through the late 1920s, and by the end of the decade, his collection numbered 4,300 works. Got off to a very quick start. Rosenwald began collecting at a time when European collections were being sold off, first due to World Depression and later to the effects of World War II. Two of the most important dealers in these formative years of the late 1920s and 30s were J. Leonard, nicknamed Dick Sessler, and Dr. A.S.W., nicknamed Doc Rosenbach. Sessler, whose father Charles founded a downtown Philadelphia print gallery and bookstore in 1882, Sood had a long-standing working relationship with Rosenwald. Sessler would purchase works at sales for himself, but give Rosenwald first refusal and earn a 10% commission. Sessler also acted as a critical go-between for the collector and other print dealers. Doc Rosenbach, seen here in his private library, together with his brother Philip, owned the Rosenbach Company, which specialized in rare books, prints, silver, and antique furniture. The company, located in the brothers' Philadelphia townhouse, and which is today open as a museum, was initially the source for Rosenwald's extensive print reference library. With, as I mentioned, purchased as early as 1923. While the Rosenbach Company is perhaps today more associated with Rosenwald's rare book collection, it did furnish prints by Rembrandt, William Blake, and Whistler during the late 1920s. Beginning in the 1940s, the dealers Richard Zinser and William Schaub became especially vital sources for old master prints during the later years of Rosenwald's collecting. Rosenwald soon developed a large network of well-respected national and international print dealers, galleries, and auction houses, including P&D Kolnagy, Knoedler & Company, Frederick Keppel & Company, the Buchholz Gallery, C.G. Berner, Holstein and Pupel, Erwin Rosenthal, Pierre Barrès, and Henri Pettier. Rosenwald's collection was mostly housed in his office at the Philadelphia Sears Building until 1939, when the construction of Elverthorpe Manor and an attached art gallery located in the Philadelphia suburb of Jenkintown was completed. This handsome 52-room mansion, which we see here, with splendid Art Deco-inspired interiors, was designed by the Chicago architect and also Rosenwald's cousin, Ernest A. Grunsfeld, in association with Wallace E. Yerkes. And the house was featured in a prominent architectural magazine in the March 1940 issue of Pencil Points. The art gallery, which was attached to the family's house, included two exhibition aisles with five print storage bays. There's one bay. A study room for visitors, very important. And note, one of the prize prints in his print collection is this very rare woodcut, a 15th century hand-colored woodcut. It's half of a lectern cloth, which he had framed and hanging above the fireplace. Later, the gallery also included a balcony library for his reference books, and also he had an office in the gallery. Later in 1968, after Lessing and his wife Edith moved to a smaller house on the property, the main building was donated to Abington Township for, in part, the Abington Art Center, whose present studio space once housed the Rosenwald collection of prints and rare books. Rosenwald's initial gift of 30 prints to the National Gallery was made in 1941, the year the museum opened its doors and included works by Martin Schongauer, Dürer, and André Mantegna. In 1942, Rosenwald came to work in Washington, becoming director of the Bureau of Industrial Conservation of the War Production Board and commuting between Jenkintown and the nation's capital. In January of 1943, Rosenwald showed his collection to the first director of the National Gallery, David Finley. After a second visit to Jenkintown by Finley a month later, discussions were now underway to formalize a plan for Rosenwald to give his collection to both the National Gallery, all the single sheet prints, drawings, and technical material, and to the Library of Congress, who received the rare illustrated books. And you'll see a letter of intent was drafted and the collection given on behalf of the American people. Seen as a great act of patriotism during the middle of a raging world war, Rosenwald's donation to the National Gallery was publicly announced on March 17, 1943, and was comprised of more than 6,000 prints, drawings, woodblocks, and copper plates. This initial gift included 64 woodcuts and 91 engravings by Dürer, 230 etchings by Rembrandt, an extraordinary group of engravings and watercolors by Blake, 270 lithographs by Honoré Daumier, and 367 prints by Whistler. Concurrently, Rosenwald gave the Library of Congress 700 rare illustrated books. Conditions were set for the gift, including one that specified the collection remain at Alverthorpe until after Rosenwald's death, when both the National Gallery and Library of Congress agreed to have the works transported to Washington and housed in their respective institutions. He also stipulated that he had the right to make additions to the original donation, and he gave the National Gallery permission to upgrade impressions by deaccessioning and using that money to obtain a better example if found. Other major gifts to the gallery occurred in 1945, 1,300 works were given. In 1946, another 700, 1949, 500, 1951, 1,500, and about 4,000 in 1964. The remainder of his collection was bequeathed after his death in 1979, bringing the total gift to the gallery to around 28,000 works of art, and to the Library of Congress to more than 2,600 rare books, including bound volumes of preparatory drawings for printed book illustrations, with a reference library of secondary material of around 5,000 volumes. With this gift, Rosenwald became one of the founding benefactors of the National Gallery and served as a trustee on the institution board for many years. And significantly, even after 40 years of rapid growth since Rosenwald gave his last print, his collection today comprises over 1/4 of the gallery's total holdings works of art on paper. By the mid-1930s, with an ever-expanding collection and an increasing public attention dictating more demands, Rosenwald recognized the need for a professionally trained curator. In 1937, he hired Elizabeth Mongan, a former student in Harvard University's Fogg Museum Studies program, who was recommended to Lessing by the famed program founder and Rosenwald friend, Paul Sachs. For the first time, the collection now had rigorous, continual care and scholarly attention. Initially, Mongan assisted in planning the use of the new gallery at Elberthorpe, but once the 1943 gift was made to the National Gallery, and up until her retirement in 1963, she became a National Gallery curator, traveling between Jenkintown and Washington, and was responsible for organizing exhibitions, researching the collection, answering public inquiries, and maintaining contact with dealers and artists. In 1963, Richard Field assumed curatorial duties, followed by Alan Shestack in 1965. In their 10 years at Elberthorpe, each produced landmark exhibitions accompanied by full catalogs on Rosenwald's substantial collection of Northern 15th century prints, Field on the woodcuts and Shestack on the engravings. J. Fred Kane became curator in 1967, followed in 1972 by Rosenwald's final curator, Ruth Fine, who oversaw the closing of the gallery at Elberthorpe in 1979 after Rosenwald's death on June 24th. And Ruth also helped to organize the transfer of the collection to Washington, which was completed by 1980. And here we have some moving day shots. The preeminent print dealing firm C.G. Berner called the Rosenwald collection, quote, one of the greatest achievements of modern print collecting and a most important example of American culture, end of quote. The building of the collection spanned more than 50 years. Rosenwald purchased his first print, the aforementioned Cameron etching seen on the top, sometime between 1925 and 1926. His very last Old Master print purchase came in 1978 with Wenceslaus Haller's Parallel Views of London Before and After the Fire, the print you see below. This talk can only briefly highlight some of the rarities and strengths of this incredible collection formed in those intervening years. One of the most important parts of the Rosenwald collection is the Italian and Northern woodcuts, metal cuts, and engravings from the 15th century. Numbering 920 prints, mostly by anonymous artists and many in unique or surviving in few impressions, this collection is the single largest one of its kind in the United States. At the core of this group are the 317 very rare German woodcuts Rosenwald bought from a Jewish banker and collector, Martin Aufhäuser, in 1939. This purchase, looked on with great pride and joy by Rosenwald to the end of his life, enabled Aufhäuser and his family to immigrate from Munich to the United States, escaping Nazi persecution. One of the finest and rarest of this group is this hand color that you see on the screen, a woodcut of the Martyrdom of Saint Sebastian. Rosenwald's collection of Northern 15th century engravings numbers more than 250 examples by 25 named artists, including 13 prints by Master E.S., the first engraver of this period to sign his works with a monogram. Rosenwald purchased his first three prints by this artist in 1929, including the print that I show you here, The Knight and the Lady. And another rarity is this striking impression of Master LCZ's The Temptation of Christ, done between 1500 and 1505, which is considered the artist's masterpieces and one of his only 12 known prints. Martin Schongauer, a very influential printmaker from the 15th century, is represented in the Rosenwald collection by more than 100 engravings, making it one of the finest in the United States. The artist Archangel Gabriel, dated to about 1490-91 and seen here, was one of Rosenwald's favorites. His first 10 Schongauer prints were acquired in 1928, and subsequent purchases were made on and off until 1959. Rosenwald also acquired Schongauer's pen and ink, very lifelike study of a bust of a monk assisting at communion. The artist's surviving drawings are rare, and only a handful are now in the United States. Though Rosenwald's interest was primarily prints, he did ultimately acquire around 2,000 drawings that either related to the prints or were major drawings by the artists that he collected. In 1948, Rosenwald acquired 10 drawings from the renowned Liechtenstein Princely Collection, including this Netherlandish 14th century metal point, Death of the Virgin, that you see on the screen. And from the 15th century, this Hugo van der Goes pen and ink drawing of St. George and the dragon. One of Rosenwald's favorite artists was the prodigious German Renaissance artist Albrecht Dürer, whose influential bodies of prints has been greatly admired ever since they were made. The collection, Rosenwald's collection includes more than 300 woodcuts, engravings, etchings, dry points, as well as one silver point drawing of the artist's brother Hans, seen here. Rosenwald's first Dürer purchase in 1928 was an impression of the artist's famed engraving, Melancholia, in the Second State. He later acquired not one, but incredibly two impressions of the extremely rare First State, which I show you here, in which the number 9 in the square was reversed. So he realized his mistake, had to burnish out the 9 and redid it, and I think there are only about 5 in the world, and we have 2 in the Rosenwald collection. Rosenwald also acquired an equally rare surviving copy of the artist's published volumes of the so-called Three Great Woodcut series. So many of these were disbound over the centuries. Rosenwald obtained a copy of all 3 of the Great Woodcut cycles in a contemporary vellum binding. Like Dürer, his contemporary Albrecht Altdorfer was a prolific and an influential printmaker whose works also found prominence in the Rosenwald collection. Among the more than 100 prints by Altdorfer, the most significant is the 6-color woodcut of the beautiful Virgin of Regensburg, dating to around 1519, 1520, and seen here. One of only 2 known impressions in this earliest edition, this print is considered the first full-color print in the history of European printmaking. Perhaps the crowning glory of Rosenwald's Northern Renaissance collection is the 4-volume illustrated manuscript of the 4 elements, fire, earth, air, and water, done by the Flemish artist Joris Hofnagel between 1575 and 1580. The volumes, once owned by the Holy Emperor Rudolf II in Prague, he kept the volumes in his private quarters, contain 275 leaves of meticulously rendered birds, fish, mammals, and insects, along with trees, plants, flowers, and fruit. One plate here, and then another this is plate 22 from the volume on fire, which is dedicated to insects. This magnificent compendium of the natural world was an appropriate gift from Rosenwald to his wife Edith, who delighted in nature and took great interest in the gardens that she created at Alverthorpe, which in themselves became a destination to see in their own right. With more than 300 works, Rosenwald's Rembrandt prints and drawings quickly became one of the most celebrated parts of his collection. His very first Rembrandt print was given to him by his brother William in 1927, and his first purchase was a year later. By 1930, the Rembrandt collection had already grown to more than 150 prints and 3 drawings. The circa 1637 red chalk self-portrait, in which the artist casts a penetrating gaze at the viewer, was among these early purchases. Rosenwald's Rembrandt drawings were to total 9 sheets, both figural studies and landscapes, and this is one of the few drawn self-portraits by Rembrandt considered to be authentic. Rosenwald took particular interest in collecting Rembrandt's multiple impressions and developmental states of prints. as well as those printed on different papers and those exhibiting tonal variations. He was acquired two different states of Rembrandt's monumental dry point, Christ crucified between the two thieves, or more commonly called the Three Crosses, begun in 1653. Though Rembrandt's discriminating wiping of the ink on the plate, and I'm showing you state three here, reveals a dramatic contrast between the lights and darks in which attention is not only focused on the main subject of Christ, but on the large supporting cast of characters as well. In the fourth and final state seen here, executed roughly 7 years after the first state, Rembrandt has drastically reworked the plate in its entirety. Not only has he burnished away many of the incidental figures, but he has considerably darkened the plate through the use of closely scored dry point lines, focusing the viewer's attention solely on Christ's suffering. Rarities among Rosenwald's Dutch 17th century holdings are two prints by the experimental etcher Hilkiel Segers. Known impressions by this artist number only around 180, and very few of these can be found in American collections. Like Rembrandt, who was to follow him, Segers experimented with state changes, selective plate wiping, and printing on various surfaces, which is evident here in the ruins of the Abbey of Regensburg, which is printed on linen and then hand-touched with watercolor. Rosenwald also formed several large collections of French 17th century works of art on paper. He began collecting etchings by the highly prolific and imaginative printmaker Jacques Callot in 1928. The Callot collection, which would ultimately number more than 550 prints and two drawings, is one of the finest and most extensive in this country. In 1946, Rosenwald purchased a splendid impression of the stag hunt seen here, considered one of Callot's masterpieces. The largest purchase of Callot prints came in 1949 with the acquisition of more than 300 impressions, which had been in a collection of more than 800 prints formed by a 19th century French nobleman. Rosenwald works by Robert Nantois, the most skillful 17th century portrait engraver of the French king and those around him, constitutes one of the greatest collections of the artist's prints in existence. Acquired in 1928, Rosenwald's Nantois collection was originally formed by the Frenchman Charles Petitjean, a co-author of the artist's catalogue raisonné, published in 1925, and contains impressions of the highest quality. Among the 230 engravings is this imposing portrait of King Louis XIV of 1676. The collection also contains the graphite preparatory drawing on vellum for the portrait of Marin Curieux de la Chambre, seen here, who was a French physician and philosopher at the royal court, and who was also one of the founding members of the French Academy of Sciences. Rosenwald formed one of the world's greatest William Blake collections with more than 265 prints, drawings, and copper plates destined for the National Gallery, and almost 60 illustrated books and preparatory drawings given to the Library of Congress. The formation of the Blake collection began in 1929, with much of it being bought from the Rosenbach Company. In 1937, Rosenwald purchased part of a Blake collection formed by the artist's patron, John Linnell, and given to his heirs to the British Museum, where it had remained on deposit ever since. Rosenwald purchased this, and the Linnell collection notably includes Blake's copper plates for the illustrations for Dante's Divine Comedy, and the early proofs for the Book of Job. Rosenwald also acquired two significant watercolors from the renowned series illustrated The Book of Revelations, commissioned by Blake's patron Thomas Butts and executed in around 1805, The Great Red Dragon and the Woman Clothed with the Sun that you see here, and the second, The Great Red Dragon and the Beast from the Sea. The Blake collection was completed by 1951 with the purchase of a tempera painting by Blake of the Last Supper, dated 1799. In addition to the Blake collection, Rosenwald also had considerable holdings of British works by William Hogarth and Thomas Rowlandson. With the exception of several engravings, all of Rosenwald's Hogarth prints and those done after his paintings and drawings, which number more than 100, were purchased as a single group in 1944. Most, as in this first state of the final plate of the Rake's Progress that you see here, are fine impressions in very early states. Rosenwald's Rowlandson collection also came as a single purchase of 7 bound volumes containing 1,202 caricatures, many in rare impressions and most hand-colored, from the collection of William Augustus Frazier. Rosenwald began collecting 18th century Italian prints as early as 1928, beginning with the purchase of 31 Canaletto etchings. He acquired the first and second edition of Giovanni Battista Piranesi's Imaginary Prisons, the Carceri, in 1930 and in 1946, respectively. And in 1947, he bought the first Paris edition of the complete works of Piranesi. Shown here is a first state, first issue of prisoners on a projecting platform. One of the rarities of Rosenwald's Venetian collection is an album compiled by the printmaker and publisher Anton Maria Zanetti, comprising almost all of Giovanni Battista Tiepolo's etchings, all with the exception of one, including the set of 23 prints called The Scarcity. 15 of these very early impressions show hand-touched additions in brown ink and some with wash, such as you see in the impression that I'm showing you here, magician and other figures before a burning altar with skull and bones. This volume and a second volume that contained etchings by Giovanni Battista's son, Giovanni Domenico, his prints of Way of the Cross. These two volumes were acquired by Rosenwald in 1951. Between 1928 and 1930, Rosenwald made significant purchases of prints by the Spanish artist Francesca Goya, including the complete sets of the artist's 4 major etched series. First, the rare 1799 edition of Los Caprichos, the 1860 edition of the Tauromachia, and the posthumously published first editions of The Disasters of War, published in 1863, and La Proverbios, published in 1864. And I just showed you his the very famous Goya print, The Sleep of Reason Produces Monsters. At this time, Rosenwald also acquired rare and early working proofs of several prints from Le Capriccios, including one hand-touched with black chalk that I'm showing you here. And the areas of chalk indicates the areas that he later applied aquatint to. And later, Rosenwald acquired a rare proof set of the prints for Los Proverbios. Rosenwald also built extensive collections in French 19th century prints and drawings. Beginning in 1928, he maintained an early interest in the caricatures of Henri Daumier, whose graphic work is represented by around 650 lithographs, as well as 30 drawings and watercolors. This early impression of the Idlers from the daily popular journal Le Carvari, seen here, is a proof before the printed captions. The annotations in brown ink that you see were made by one of the paper's writers, Louis Huard, and included notes of instruction to the printers. The lower of the two annotations in the upper left corner says, quote, Daumier complains about the quality of the last proofs. Take care of this, end of quote. Rosenwald also acquired a complete set of Daumier's 36 cast bronze bust of famous French legislators, a portion of which he displayed flanking the fireplace and on top of the cabinets in his office at Elverthorpe. And today they are installed in sculpture galleries just across the hall. An outstanding highlight from the 19th century collection is Edgar Degas' very first monotype, the Ballet Master, done in collaboration with Vicomte Ludovic Napoleon Lepic, from whom Degas learned this process, and seen here. Rosenwald acquired three other Degas monotypes, also of figural studies, and in addition to these, the Degas collection includes 25 etchings, dry points, and lithographs, together with one copper plate. The Rosenwald holdings contain important print examples by Paul Gauguin, whose works were first acquired by the collector in 1940. Included are around 50 woodcuts, such as the color trial proof that you see here of the universe is created, 10 lithographs, 6 monotypes, 2 woodcut blocks, and 2 woodcut blocks, and 1 Gauguin etching, and also 1 Gauguin drawing. Another noteworthy part of the Rosenwald French 19th century collection is the group of lithographs by Henri de Toulouse-Lautrec, which numbers around 250 prints in total. One of the finest in this group is an impression of the lithograph of American actress and dancer Miss Loe Fuller, seen here printed in color ink and gold ink. Roughly 200 of the Lautrec lithographs acquired in 1951 through the dealer Gerald Kramer had been in the collection of the artist's publisher, Edward Kleinmann. The collection, containing not only fine standard impressions, but also unusual trial proofs and first states, is seminal today for any serious study of Toulouse-Lautrec prints. The Rosenwald collection of the 19th century prints also holds significant works by the expatriate Americans James McNeill Whistler and Mary Cassatt. The Whistler collection consists of about 300 etchings and dry points, 2 copper plates, and 170 lithographs that he acquired between 1927 and 1949. Nocturne that you see here from the first Venice set, published in 1880, shows Whistler's very selective tonal wiping of the plates, much like Rembrandt's in the 17th century. In 1949, Rosenwald purchased a noteworthy group of 35 Whistler etchings from the collection of Harris Whittemore, the first American collector of Impressionist paintings, prints, and drawings. And as a footnote, he owned Whistler's Symphony in White No. 1, The White Girl, which is today now at the National Gallery. Rosenwald acquired critical works by Cassatt, totaling 10 drawings and more than 65 etchings. Especially remarkable among this group are the artist's 14 color intaglio prints from a series of 17 inspired by Japanese woodcuts, including the bath that you see here, that Rosenwald purchased from the French dealer Jean Garnier in 1940 and 1941. This set, containing various preliminary drawings and trial proofs that offer a fascinating step-by-step explanation of Cassatt's very elaborate process, this set was still in the artist's original package that she had sent to her publisher and was Vuillard. Rosenwald collecting extended to modern prints and drawings of the early 20th century, including a sizable collection of German expressionist works, a period at that time not yet of interest to most collectors. Many of these works were bought as a single lot of more than 300 prints and drawings from the Claude Schaeffer collection in 1950. Artists represented included Ernst Ludwig Kerchner, Max Beckmann, Emil Nolde, Max Peckstein, and Edvard Munch. Here is Kirchner's 1912 woodcut figure of a woman. And important German expressionist prints and drawings originally from the collection of the Berlin dealer Karl Buchholz were acquired by Rosenwald in December of 1944, which includes this beautiful, one of my favorite watercolors in the collection, Carl Schmidt Rottluff's striking yellow iris. And another one of my favorite drawings. Begun in 1939, Rosenwald's Katie Kollwitz collection is notable, containing more than 115 etchings, lithographs, and woodcuts, with many of these lithographs are redrawn working in trial proofs, and 27 drawings ranging in date from 1892 to 1938. Especially moving is the 1933 charcoal self-portrait drawing seen here. As stated earlier, Rosenwald gave his rare books to the Library of Congress, numbering 2,653 titles, with a reference working library numbering 5,000 volumes. Upon accepting the gift in 1943, then Librarian of Congress Archibald MacLeish noted its importance in an open letter to Rosenwald and expressed, quote, appreciation of his generous and patriotic act in transferring to the Library of Congress for the citizens of this country the magnificent and critically selected collection of books, end of quotation. Fred Goff, chief of the Rare Book and Special Collection Division at the Library of Congress from 1945 to 1972, called Rosenwald's collection, quote, the jewel in the crown, end of quote, of the library. Lessing is pictured here with Luther Harris Evans, who is the 10th Librarian of Congress, holding that title from 1945 to 1953. After the collection was brought to Washington in 1980, the library created the Rosenwald Reading Room, replicating the Alverthorpe Study Room, complete with original furnishings. The original study room at Alverthorpe, the desk, the benches, now at the Library of Congress, the wonderful Art Deco light fixtures. Presiding over the room, as it had done at Alverthorpe, is the head of Orpheus by Swedish sculptor Carl Mill, which was a gift from Edith to her husband for his 50th birthday in 1941. Rosenwald collected illustrated manuscripts and printed books from six centuries, and the greatest strengths of the Library of Congress collection lie in 15th century woodcut books, especially 11 very rare block books in which each letter was hand-carved on the same block as the illustration. Early 16th century illustrated books, books illustrated by William Blake, and 20th century Liebed Artiste. Here, I would like to point out just a few highlights. Perhaps the most famous book Rosenwald gave to the library is the so-called Giant Bible of Mainz, presented in 1952 on the 500th anniversary commemorating the year in which the manuscript was begun. The two volumes, one of which is always on continuous display in the library's Great Hall, is notable for its beauty and for being one of the last manuscript Bibles written before the invention of printing in the West. Another noteworthy manuscript is a French Book of Hours from 1524 with an opening that you see here. The volume, once attributed to Geoffrey Torrey on the basis of the calligraphy, contains 16 full-page miniatures, 26 small miniatures of evangelists and saints, and 16 illuminated borders with flowers and foliage. One of only two known copies, the 1495 Epistles of the Evangelists, a page opening that you see here, is considered one of the greatest illustrated Florentine books of the period. The volume contains 144 large woodcuts, 24 small cuts of saints and prophets, and a series of 14 different border designs. It is also the most notable book Rosenwald purchased at the famed Dyson Perrins sale held at Sotheby's in London in 1946. Charles William Dyson Perrins, pictured here, had much in common with Rosenwald. Both inherited their wealth from ancestors who founded well-known companies. Perrins' grandfather was of the original owners of the firm Lee and Perrins, makers of the famous condiment sauce, and Charles himself took over the management of the famous Royal Worcester porcelain factory after World War II. Both were important collectors of rare books and prints, and both became noted philanthropists giving to public institutions of their respective countries. The Dyson Perrins sale was the first important book auction to take place after World War II. Buyers not only included Rosenwald for the Library of Congress, who bought a total of 84 titles from the sale, but Philip Hoffer for Harvard University and Bell DaCosta Green for the Pierpont Morgan Library. Many of the books Rosenwald bought from this sale are known in only a few copies, and in some instances are actually unique. Another important book from the Dyson Perrins sale is a translation by 15th century Dominican priest Cavalca of St. Jerome's Lives of the Early Saints and Martyrs, published in Venice in 1501, and a page opening scene here. Each chapter opening is illustrated with a full-page woodcut border enclosing a half-page roundel, an initial letter, and text. These chapter roundels, along with 30-page roundels, are all colored in contemporary hand, a rarity in Italian woodcut book illustrations of this period. As previously mentioned, Rosenwald assembled one of the finest collections ever of illustrated books, drawings, engravings, and copper plates by the artist, engraver, poet, philosopher William Blake. He gave the Library of Congress around 30 illuminated Blake books with prints by Blake after his own design, such as the Songs of Innocence Experience, published in 1754, here open to frontispiece and title page, and also frontispiece, Ancient Days from the publication Europe, a Prophecy, also published in 1794. The collection also contains almost 30 books containing prints designed by Blake, but engraved by others, and finally engraved book illustrations by Blake, but after the designs by others. Rosenwald also collected artist books from the late 19th century and early 20th century, including the first great example from the 20th century, Paul Verlaine's collection of poems entitled Parallèlement, with lithographic illustrations by Pierre Bonnard, and published by the Parisian art dealer Ambroise Vollard in 1900. And here is a page opening from that book. Of a total edition of 200 copies, the Library of Congress volume is one of only 30 printed on China paper and is one of the very few to contain the original imprint of the mark of national printer. Because the book was banned on moral grounds soon after it was published, the French Ministry of Justice had the book recalled and Vollard had to print a new title page without the royal mark. If Lessing Rosenwald's collecting gave him great satisfaction and joy, the sharing of his riches gave him even more pleasure. In the 1943 deed of gift to the gallery stipulates that the collection, quote, shall be made as useful from an education and cultural point of view as the collection permits, end of quote. He fervently hoped his collection would be seen and enjoyed by many, once famously stating, quote, for my part, I believe that a work that is never seen is little better off than one that has never been made, end of quote. He gave unprecedented public access to the gallery at Elverthorpe and was known for personally welcoming generations of visiting scholars and students, including, I love this story, a yearly visit from a local third grade class in which he explained to them the making of an illuminated manuscript. And at their departure and not before, he gave them each a piece of candy. At any given time, works from the Rosenwald collection could be found up to 60 national and international exhibitions, many of the US venues being smaller museums away from the country's major art centers. Two of the earliest exhibitions featured the Rembrandt etchings at the Baltimore Museum of Art in 1929 and the Daumier lithographs at the Free Library of Philadelphia in 1930. As part of his educational mission, Rosenwald was a founding member in 1956 of the Print Council of America, a professional organization of nominated print curators, university professors, scholars, and conservators established, quote, to foster the creation, dissemination, and appreciation of fine prints, old and new, end of quote. Today, this vital organization with annual meetings has more than 250 members. And in conclusion, to reinvigorate his what has been called Rosenwald's search for human significance and his deep commitment to public access to art, the Lessing J. Rosenwald Digital History Project was created in 2017. Co-organized by the Gallery and the Library of Congress, this collaborative project and its multimedia approach will digitally reunify the separate art collections and their archives. As the National Gallery commemorates and celebrates this significant anniversary, the Rosenwald Collection continues to delight, educate, and inspire 75 years later. Thank you very much.
This has been a National Gallery of Art podcast.